was, or it had this something along the lines that says, I start with the letter M, am six letters long, and I pick things up. What am I? And so she gets the papers back and she grades them, and about 50% of the papers said, or they put in the word for that, they put mother. And she starts with an M that is six letters long and she picks things up. While that is true, I think the answer she was looking for was magnet, but mothers do those things. Wives do those things where they come behind us and they pick up with a happy heart, I'm sure, every time, that the things that we leave behind. But there's so much more to being a mother than picking things up. There's a higher calling to being a mother than just that type of stuff. And so this morning, I want us to look at what a godly mother looks like, and honoring her. A good mother loves her family. A good mother provides an atmosphere where each member has this feeling of acceptance, where you feel like you are part of the family. A good mother also provides security and understanding of life and what's going on in an individual's life. And above all else, she gives unconditional love. A good mother gives unconditional love. That, yes, as children and yes, as individuals, we fall and we mess up and we blow it, but mom still loves us. Nobody loves you like your mother loves you. The worst criminals are still loved by their mom because they're their mom. Mothers are there when the child needs to be listened to. She provides that listening ear. She provides that comforting word. She gives the hug, maybe just a loving touch, a hand on the shoulder or to hold the hand. And she even gives good advice. But the greatest joy that a Christian mother could give and a Christian mother can have is to teach her children and to train her children to know the love of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. That kind of mom deserves to be honored. Not just on one special day during the year, but on every day. And so, women, while I want to honor you today, moms, I want to honor you today. And some of you were not mothers, but you were mothers to others. Maybe other people's children, you were their mom. Some of you were unable to have children, possibly, and going through that gut-wrenching hardship, and today is not a day that you want to celebrate. Some of you may have lost your mother, and today is a difficult day for you. But I hope that you look back today with fondness on her. That today is a day you can celebrate the life and the love that she passed on to you and made you and formed you and helped you to become the woman that you are. And so let's talk about that type of mom. Let's read in Proverbs 31. I'll start reading in verse 26. And this is what the writer ends Proverbs with. It says this: she opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. I want to talk to you today, like I said, about honoring mothers. So the first thing I want us to look at, I've got three areas of how a mother is to be honored. The first area is that a godly mother, we should honor a godly mother who has this unconditional love. And when we define unconditional love, what we mean is a love that, while is loving and you care for many people, you tend to be able to love someone regardless of what happens, of what they do. No person can take the hardship, can take the pain, can take the discouragement, the heartfelt just destruction, and still love like a mother. Like I said earlier, even those who are on death row, their mother still loves them, even though they've done some heinous things. And so examine your heart today, mom. Examine your heart today, dad. Examine your heart today, student. Do you honor, or did you honor your mother as you ought? Again, not all mothers, or no mother is perfect. Some mothers struggled more than others, but did you honor her the way you should? She's the one who brought you into this world. She's the one who nourished you. She is the one who nurtured you. She is the one that made sure that you are alive and that you are here today. And you are part of your mother. She is a part of you. Her DNA runs through your body. Doesn't she need to be honored in your life? I said, not all mothers, you feel you need to honor them. But Scripture teaches us, it's the fifth commandment, that we should honor our mother and our father. It's interesting, it's the very first commandment that shifts from talking about our relationship to God with our relationship to people, and the very first commandment has to do with how you treat your parents. And we are to honor them. We are to treat them well. We are to respect them. We are to do what we can to take care of them as they get older, to honor them, to lift them up, not to go around talking bad about them, not going around and destroying their name and who they are. We are to give them honor. And the great news for all of us is, whatever your situation may be in, or whatever situation you may be in, that there is a love which is shown by a mother that is experienced by her sons and daughters that's really close to the unconditional love that God has. God is the one who demonstrates unconditional love for us, even more so and to a higher degree than mothers do. Scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That even though we were enemies of God, that he still died for us because he wanted to make sure that we knew that we were loved by him. That even though that we sin against a infinite, wonderful, sinless God, that he still loves you. That he still became man, put on flesh, and died for you. So where do mothers learn this? They learn this from God. And each of us have been able to receive a mother's love. The Bible, like I said, tells us that in our rebellion, that God the Father sent his only unique Son to be one of us so that we could know the Father. That is unconditional love. That is love that surpasses all understanding. That is love that helps us understand what it means to be someone who can come back to the Father, who can come back to and find repentance and find forgiveness, because God did it. And the closest thing that walks today that shows us this love is your mother. And so we love her, we honor her for this unconditional love that she gives. A mother's love should reflect our Heavenly Father, and it also shows that we should honor her in the way that she lives her life. Moms, make sure that you live your life in a manner that demonstrates your sacrificial love. Your love for your children, your love for your husband is demonstrated in the way that you live your life. Oftentimes, moms sacrifice in ways that husbands and particularly children don't recognize. They don't see, they don't understand, they don't see the sacrifices that moms make when they're up late at night caring for a child. The child just realizes they're sick. They don't realize mom is losing sleep. They don't realize that mom is praying for that child, is caring for that child, that mom is sacrificing what she needs, her rest, her comfort, her own desires for that of her child. She brings up her child and she cares for a child in a way that surpasses all others in the child's life. To many, many times women are made to feel that they should apologize for being mothers. Our society has said, you know what, they look down on the idea that you choose to be a mother. But Scripture tells us it is an honorable thing, that it is a worthy thing. It is a thing that's worthy of respect. Godly mothers will always put their needs before their children's, or before their children. Put the needs of their children before their own. Let me rephrase that. Godly mothers put others before themselves, and particularly their children. There's a story of a man named Solomon Rosenberg. During the time leading up to World War II and during World War II, when they were arresting Jews and sending them off to concentration camps, Solomon, along with his wife and his two children, one was named David, one was named Joshua. So Solomon, his wife, his two sons, along with his parents, his mother and father, were all arrested and sent to concentration camp. And at the concentration camp, you were able to live as long as you were able to fulfill your purpose there. As long as you were able to work, as long as you remained healthy and you weren't frail and you didn't become a problem for the guards, you were able to live and you were able to continue to work. And not long after they got there, Solomon's parents disappeared. They were too old to be able to do a lot of the work that the guards wanted them to do. And so one day they came back and his parents were taken away and they were killed. And so Solomon was there with his wife and his two sons, David and Joshua. And he was worried about David because David was always a frail kid. He'd grown up and was kind of sickly and didn't have the strength that others did. And so his heart would go out day after day wondering at what point are the soldiers going to come and take David away. So he would go out to work every day and he'd come back and he would look for his wife and his boys in the midst of a sea of faces and try to reunite with them every day. And one day he came back and he finds his son Joshua huddled in the corner weeping. And Solomon goes up to Joshua and he says, "Josh, tell me it didn't happen." And Joshua tells his dad the news that he regretted to share, and the news that Solomon never wanted to hear was that that was the day that David could no longer hold up his end of the bargain and perform the duties that the guards wanted him to do, and that he was taken away. And so Solomon, in his grief and in his wonder, asks, but where's your mama? Because he didn't see her either. He said, "Oh, Papa." He said when they came to get David, David was crying and he was afraid. So mom told him there was nothing to be afraid of, and she grabbed his hand and she walked out with him. And she gave her life alongside her sons so that she could bring him comfort in his last moments. The mom was willing to give her very life so that her son could die with dignity. Now, I know that's an extreme story, but it demonstrates the type of love that mothers have for their children. It's a powerful picture of what our Savior did. It's a powerful picture of what Christ did. That when we are unable to commune with the Father because of our sin, because we have broken relationship with God, that Jesus, instead of us, walked down that street in Jerusalem, outside the city walls, stretched out his hands, and they were nailed to a cross, and he gave his life. 3 days later, he rose again, and he offers you and me forgiveness. The love of a mother shows in her sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice that is only topped by the sacrifice that God Himself has done for us. In Philippians chapter 2, talking about Christ and who He is and the example that He gave us, it said that, talking about Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for His own advantage. In other words, Jesus didn't take advantage of the fact that He was God. He didn't say, nope, stop it. He didn't command everybody to die and they drop dead. He didn't say, I don't think I'm going to die today and get off the cross. None of those things. He did not take advantage of being God. Instead, He emptied Himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. That He emptied Himself of all of the wonderful qualities of being God. That no longer was He able to be everywhere at one time, but now He was conformed to flesh and blood. And when He had come as a man in His external form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is our ultimate example of sacrificial love. But we get to see it every day in the lives of our mothers who take the less desired piece of chicken, who eat what is left instead of eating first. Today we're going to let you eat first. You get the piece of chicken you really want today. But we see mothers giving up her own desires and sacrificing herself for her children. And we honor you for that. The last thing that we are honoring, or the last reason that we honor godly mothers for today, is that they are great teachers. They are great teachers. Proverbs 31, verse 26, read it early, says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. That while you may not be a great teacher that's given all these honors and accolades by the public, that your job as a mom is to teach and to share with your children not just how to live life, not just how to speak or to read or to do those things, but the most important job that you've got is to teach your children about Jesus, to teach your children about what Christ did and who He is. There's this woman who lived a few years ago, back in the 1700s. Her name was Susanna Wesley. And you've probably never heard of Susanna Wesley, but I promise you, you've heard of her children. She had 17 children. And her, the way she demonstrated her godly motherness, no, it's not a word, but what she did for every day for at least 1 hour, she would get away and pray for her 17 children. And every day or every week, she would take each of her children aside at a different time during the week, and for a full hour, they would discuss spiritual matters. 17 hours of her week, she would spend with her children one-on-one, talking about Christ, talking about themselves and their relationship with Christ, talking about how they're growing with Christ, how they're maturing as a Christian, how they're giving their life for Jesus. That is what Susanna did. And then on top of that, another 7 hours every week she spent praying for her children. Two of her kids were named Charles and John. Charles Wesley, you've probably sung some of his songs. Charles Wesley was a preacher, but not a well-known preacher. But he was known mainly for his hymn writing. And we sing some of his songs still today. The song, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Our Great Redeemer Lives," that was written by Charles Wesley. But his brother John was a preacher. John was not just a preacher. He was more of a revivalist. And he went all throughout England preaching about Jesus. And thousands came to know Christ. And then he and his friend George and his brother Charles got on a boat and they came across the pond, so to speak, and they ended up in the United States. And because of the preaching of George Whitefield and John Wesley, and because of the writings of men like Jonathan Edwards, we have what we call in history the First Great Awakening. That because of the preaching of John Wesley and others like him, that many in our country came to know Christ. A massive, huge revival came across both the United States, or what was part of the United States at the time, and what was England. Why? Because that mother cared enough to invest at least an hour a week with her sons and talk to them about spiritual matters. Being someone who teaches is not a passive action. It has to be active. Yes, children will catch things passively by watching you or hearing you, but when you sit down and actively teach them what it is to be a godly individual, that's when you're investing in the right stuff. This isn't just moms that need to do this. This is dads. This is grandparents. Invest in the next generation. Because of Susanna's investment in her boys, many of you and I could probably trace our salvation back to that revival that happened years and years and years ago. Thank God for those men. Thank God for their mothers who invested in them. The songs we still sing today, and they were part of a movement that eventually became Methodism. And the Methodist Church, the Methodist denomination, comes out of the followers of Wesley. And Charles Wesley and also John Wesley specifically, and the teachings that they had. Your teaching is influence. You is important. You influence your children. You influence those around you. The Bible clearly teaches that it is the responsibility of the parents to teach the next generation. I read it earlier, and I want to read it again from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Listen, Israel, You could say, listen, church. Listen, mom. Listen, dad. The Lord our God, He is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That command is for you. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he goes on to say, these words I am giving you today are to be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. You cannot teach your children about God if you don't know him first. Mom, dad, you cannot lead your family spiritually until you are first being led by God. Or you can't lead them well. You can't teach what you don't know. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Let them be on your heart, and then you teach them. Repeat them to your children. Where do you repeat these things? It says this, talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. These are examples of everyday activities. When you're going down the road in the car, talk about godly things. When you are sitting in your house, talk about godly things. When you're going to bed, talk about godly things. When you wake them up in the morning, talk about godly things. But I can't stress enough that you can't talk about godly things until you know godly things to begin with. Mom and dad, you cannot expect the church in a formal setting like today, and like every Sunday, whether it be in Sunday school or in worship service, to teach your children everything they need to know about God. Matter of fact, it's not our job to do it. It's yours. It's the job of the parents, not the job of the government, not the job of the church to teach them about Jesus. Proverbs 22 says, teach a youth the way he should go, and even when he gets old, or when he gets old, he will not depart. Your children must have a good foundation. You must be a godly teacher. What do you teach? You instill godly truth in them and let that become what impacts them the most. Mom, train your children in godliness. Pray for your children. Take Susanna as someone to aspire to. Maybe you don't have enough information at this point in your life to spend a total hour with your children talking about godly things. But at least take 10, 15 minutes this week. Talk to each of your children individually about godly things. And build that over time to an hour. But no, you can't do that until you've got it in you first. So today we honor you, Mom. We salute you, Mom, for being a godly woman. We want the best for you. And the best for you is knowing Christ and to make him known to your kids. The death of Christianity is only a generation away. You don't teach your children, I promise you, the world will not teach them about God. It's a heavy burden we carry. As parents, it's a heavy burden you carry as a mom. Teach them to know Christ, to live out the life, to give themselves away, so that they too can be honored. And pass that on from generation to generation to generation. I'm going to let Chris play and let you reflect on that. And I want to pray for us, pray for moms. Thank God for them. Father God, we thank you that you have blessed us with these women in our lives. I pray that we would honor them as they deserve. I thank you that as a nation, we set aside a day every year and celebrate them. God, I pray that they would teach us how to love unconditionally, how to sacrifice unconditionally, and how to teach unconditionally. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for the women in my life who helped mold me into who I am and who I'm becoming. In your name we pray. Amen.